Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we're consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week. Stephanie, this Parade of Homes model is not just one home, but a fourplex in the heart of Salt Lake's urban living.
Manifest Development and Breen Homes present The George, which, Scott, before recording, you were saying that you thought it was after George Costanza.
It was named after George Costanza. Maybe. But we've got somebody here to clear that up and tell us how that name came about. We got Adam Breen, who is the owner of Breen Homes. And so, Adam, tell us about The George, where you got the name.
I don't know. Let's make up a story. I don't know if it was George Foreman, George Costanza, or George Washington, but it was a George. My family pet at home was named George as well, so it could have been the dog. You know? But no uniqueness to that. To be frank, I honestly don't know. This was a project brought to us by a developer that bought the land, developed it into a 4-unit townhome setup, and named the development and the home The George. So that's still yet to be determined. We'll let those people out there decide what the best story is.
Okay, so describe a little bit, because I'm thinking that George is like a classy name, right? Uh-huh. So tell us.
Colonial name.
Yeah, tell us what this house looks like. Is it modern? Is it colonial?
It's a cool house. It's a fourplex unit, so it's 4 units all in one building.
Oh, cool.
They all have street access, so it's not an apartment building. It's a townhome setup. And the 4 units are stacked on a small, I want to say it's maybe a 1/3-acre parcel down kind of the up and coming 9th urban district area downtown.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So it's 8 South and Washington Street, which Washington Street, maybe it was George Washington.
Yeah.
Right?
We're going to
placate and add to the story as we go.
Well, before you go further on this, I didn't know that the Parade of Homes actually had multi-unit homes that they present.
One really unique thing about the Salt Lake Parade, which is cool, and I've been involved in the Salt Lake Parade since 2013. It's the first time I entered a home in. Uh-huh. And as I entered the home in, I got more involved in what goes on behind the scenes, you know, who runs the Salt Lake Parade of Homes, being the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. And as we've looked at what makes Salt Lake unique, because there's a lot of cool parades out there, right? Utah Counties is great. Northern Wasatch is awesome. St. George is spectacular. But we're all uniquely individual, I would say. So Salt Lake, where we've always touted, is it's not just the best of the best, the cream of the crop. It's what works for everybody. It's livability and attainability for anyone and everyone. So you can see anything from a starter home, a town home, potentially a downtown condo, up into a, you know, truly custom 10,000 square foot multi-million-dollar project. You know, so Salt Lake covers really the very range of livability that we have in the Salt Lake Valley.
Well, and I think that's neat, because of course, one of the things Stephanie knows, I say I hate taking my wife to these things, because a lot of times she sees these homes and then she's filing papers like the next week of divorce.
She can't afford what she wants.
Is it good thing Mickey doesn't listen to this podcast, because she would call out all your lies?
Yeah, man, you'd be in trouble. It's true, though. I used to always, my grandpa, being a few generations older than me, used to always say, why in the world would I want to go see what I can't afford? It's the dumbest thing ever, right? We had a motto, and I'm gonna totally wreck it, but a few years ago we had a motto of, like, you know, dreams and possibilities. You know, so the idea isn't always necessarily like, go look at this home that's so cool you could never have it. It's just a parade to go see. But maybe go look for unique ideas how to cater to your backyard.
Yeah.
How to remodel your kitchen. You know, what to do with your unfinished basement space. It kind of gave this rounded ability to do whatever you wanted, so to speak. But it just became so unique because we have such a wide variety of product across the Salt Lake Valley. Right, you can go downtown where it may be remodel, it may be restore, it may be complete new build. You go out west and it's all brand new development.
Right.
You know, so we really have this unique variation of opportunity. We do like to tout that the Salt Lake Parade of Homes is for everybody.
Well, I like that. I mean, I really do like that. And I like the idea that you're talking about. You can just get ideas, because there may be a part of one of these homes. Maybe you can't have the whole home, but you could have a room out of that home.
Right.
That you can tailor make to, because I know I have friends that have done that. They go to a parade of homes and they go, you know, I maybe can't have that 20,000 square foot home, but there was something in there that I could put in my living room or something that was really cool.
Yeah, it could be a fresh coat of paint. What's the new color?
Right.
It could be new furniture. Yeah. Every home is decorated. So a lot of times, again, it's not placated to just who's building a new house or who wants to dream of big possibilities. It may come down to current styles and trends, what the furniture packages look like, how to lay out a unique small space, what to do with a weird nook in your house. You know, it is ideas and possibilities, absolutely.
So this is a fourplex.
Yeah, so this unit is a fourplex. Uniquely enough, three of the units have already sold. You know, market 4 weeks ago was dramatically different than it is today. And when we first put them on the market, boom, they just sold like crazy. This one was the one that didn't sell. And now has come to this slower market as interest rates went up and the economy is starting to feel a little unchanged or unnerved. And so it's up for sale for it. But it's a really, really good unit. It's one of the interior units. What I like to placate on it is the livability truly feels like large, livable space in a downtown environment. So we're walkable to tracks. I mean, within a couple hundred feet from a track station. The urban 9th district just growing like crazy right there now has new restaurants, new apartments, new bar scenes, nightlife, all this stuff going on right in the area. So the walkability is great, but you're not living in a old downtown rehab, an old downtown house. Mm-hmm. You're not living in an apartment. This is 2,000 square feet of new design and open floor plan living space. And it's awesome. It feels really cool when you're in it.
And does it have a garage?
No garage. It does have parking out back. And it is covered parking.
Oh,
yeah, so it's got a unique covered parking space. We've hooked up electrical vehicle parking to it as well. You know, so trying to placate somebody, your Tesla would fit in. Yeah. If you don't have a Tesla, you'll be buying one after the parade. Your wife will make you. but going back to downtown, every time I'm down there, you know, there's the scooters zipping all over the place, whether it's the Bird or with the spin scooters, you know, the train tracks being right there. It's amazing at how many people downtown are starting to feel that bigger city feel of not having to drive a car everywhere.
Kind of like a San Francisco.
Yeah.
We've seen some of them, the architecture.
Well, and I used to work downtown, and mm-hmm. I loved being able to, like, walk everywhere, and everyone's walking. Yeah. And whereas when you're in the suburbs sometimes, if you're on a busy street corner, people are like, why are you walking? You know, what are you doing?
Totally.
But it's a cool environment, so I love that they included this fourplex in the pre-home.
Yeah, it's fun. When I say we, the Salt Lake Parade of Homes has looked for getting more into that downtown market for years now, you know, and it's just hard because there hasn't been a lot of new construction down there in the past. The logistics of going into a really kind of cool, unique downtown loft is hard, you know, so this becomes a truly unique product to the Salt Lake Parade that we haven't seen in a long time. You know, and to your point, you know, as you experience this walkability of downtown, you almost tend to go, maybe I could live in an urban lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be the first to admit, I am a suburbanite that I always say through and through. I love mm-hmm. my yard, my space, my own vehicle. But I've recently been challenged. I read a book called A Country of Cities. And it discusses that we're happier as individuals being in a urban environment where there's density and walkability to market, work, mass transit, because we aren't spending so much time commuting in our vehicles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the very first, can't remember if it's the first, but in one of the early on chapters of the book, it talks about downtown Manhattan being able to jump on the subway, meet up with a friend 15, 20 miles across town in 10 minutes, grab coffee, and be back to work within the next 30 or 45 minutes, and that you could never do that on the 401 in California. And man, it kind of blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I went, maybe I could do it in an urban environment. You know, so it is a unique product to have in down there, and it's fun to see something that has more of a friendly floor plan being new construction than an older style home that has, you know, weird chopped up space to it. You know, so it's a really cool open floor plan for that matter.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say this because I think as far as urban versus the suburban lifestyle is because it's been a generational thing. And of course the automobile kind of changed that because back in the 20s, it was all urban.
Right.
Everybody was in the city. Everybody wanted to be in the city. Those who lived way out in the country were people who had nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the automobile came along and it provided people with the ability to go away from the city, but still get back to the city to work quickly. But with that, the whole environment changed, which is exactly what you're talking about, the culture, which kind of separates us all, which is not necessarily a good thing.
Isn't it kind of wild when you think of like westernization, right? And the Transcontinental Railroad that came back across and stopped suddenly allowed cities to grow. And that's where everybody wanted to be. And you're right. The automobile came around and allowed suburbia nation to kind of take forth. And this book argues a little bit. I keep going back to this book because it's fresh in my mind. But it argues a little bit, but that was kind of our forefathers and governmental way of paying for infrastructure to connect cities. So it was kind of like this facade pulled over your face of it's the American dream. Go out and own your land.
Yeah.
Get on the roads far away from everybody and build your own little American dream. But now we're beholden to this idea of constantly taking care of our yards, paying for infrastructure, driving our vehicles back and forth from daycare to work to gym to coffee, whatever it is, 8 trips a day. And are we really happy spending those 2 hours in our car going back and forth all the time? And sometimes, you know, to your point, Steph, we put on our headphones and whether we're listening to music we like, a podcast, a book, it's nice to get out and just plug into something you want to do and walk to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and get some exercise in along the way or jump on the community, you know, scooter or trail, you know, track station, whatever it might be. It's really kind of come back and we were getting very much that way. These younger generations came in and they liked this urbanization of living downtown. But then the coronavirus kind of hit and pushed everybody out to wanting their own space again, you know, but now it's kind of this festered in the middle that it's probably a pretty good, you know, we might call it an equilibrium market for that. But urbanization still is, I would say, on the forefront of growth. People are wanting to be in where hubs are. They have walkability. You know, density allows, everyone hates the big word density in my world. It's just, it's, you get the NIMBYism behind it, but density really allows more affordability, more attainability. And as we see the real estate market further outreach individuals, the majority of America, you know, you've got to allow some density to create affordability and it's allowing that again, you know? So again, it's really cool to have a unique product that, you know, this, I hate to tout that it's affordable. It's relatively expensive for downtown.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
This is a little bit more of a custom Breen home style, you know, what we're typically used to, custom fourplex that's made for a nicer product downtown.
Yeah, you know? When I hear the word fourplex, immediately I think boring.
Yeah.
That's the word that comes to my mind.
Right.
Boring. So what makes this exciting?
Yeah. So this is a very uniquely placed product. It's got a modern feel to it. You know, we've kind of been known to be in the modern design style for quite a while. It's got a very modern feel to it. It does have an upscale, more custom feel to it, the design, the layout, the products that were used. You know, so again, where we say boring, we're used to thinking fourplex, Harriman, we've slammed in, you know, Daybreak, we've slammed in a bunch of 300, 400, 500, 600 units across. What you're not used to is going into something that is 2,000 square feet, built on more of a custom design level, but is in an urban environment downtown that is new, fresh, open floor plan. So take 2,000 square feet and put some good livable square footage down there that feels open, and it feels like a completely different product. It's a really cool product down there. Not to mention that the design style of it being more modern stands out so well. You know, it was a single family lot before we built on it. The home was torn down and this building put on it. And it stands very proud. You know, I hate to say very loud, but loud, you know, it stands out well in a older, more mature neighborhood that has some really cool product in it. So as you walk up and down the street, there's been, you know, remodels that have been left to the historical factor they had. There's been additions that have changed. There's new apartments down there. So you just have this taste of flavor, which is what we get in downtown that makes our city so cool.
Yeah.
And you have the established trees.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Yeah. I just bought a new build, but it's in a new development. And I didn't realize how much I miss just the old trees in the neighborhood, right? Like that it feels.
It's true.
Established.
You get into new neighborhoods where developers have been, you know, worked with the city on the trees they have to plant. And you go out and buy 2, 3, 4 inch caliper trees and put them in all over. And over time they grow. But when was the last time you went down to Pioneer Park and you saw these massive trees?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's so cool. And so you do get that feeling of the shaded neighborhoods, the canopy trees. You know, we sit right just west of the Spy Hop building, if you're familiar at all. for that building.
No, what's
it's a IHOP? Really cool,
I know IHOP.
But. Yeah, they're IHOP. They don't sell pancakes. I'm not going to speak to what their business is.
I love the
is.
IHOP. Yeah. I mean, you know, if I can walk to that, I'm buying.
My understanding is the SpyHop building is kind of like an after-school hangout education for kids in like the gaming and tech industry. Uh-huh. So it's kind of a nonprofit, but they designed a really cool modern cement and glass building, and that sits directly behind us. So again, you look at this urbanization of just new stuff that has come in, and there's these really cool uniquely placed products around the block face that we're on, but intermixed in with some of the older product, the kind of Sugar House bungalow style that's been there since the early 1900s. And it just gives this variety of flavor, you know, everywhere. Yeah. There's some cool little local restaurants and little dive shops around there, some bars that are right around there, you know. So, again, you get away from that typical feel that you're used to feeling of driving through, you know, the nice Draper neighborhood, the gated community to go see a parade home, and you need to go see something a little more urban. And why not take a night to go downtown and get a nice dinner downtown and go see our house?
And question for you, speaking of driving, because my first thought was, parking. Where do people park? Is that going to be a nightmare down there?
I'm sure it'll be tough for logistics during the parade.
Yeah.
You know, it always is. Every neighborhood we've built.
But you said it was close to tracks.
Yeah. I mean, you can jump on tracks and take it down. Like I said, why not have an evening night out with the wife and, you know, husband to go grab dinner and come check out the house. We will make room for some parking down there, but it'll be downtown parking. Find a place to park and walk over to us. You know, I would love to push people to get out and enjoy the urban sight that it is.
Yeah.
Park a block up the street and walk down.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of parking. I mean, at the end of the day, we all go to jazz games down there, you know, concerts, and we find parking.
But that's a great point of make it a night. Be prepared to walk a little bit.
One of the most fun dates my wife and I had not too long ago was we just went downtown, grabbed dinner, and jumped on this dumb spin scooters and took off.
Oh, yeah.
And went all over downtown. I was like, this is hot. We really do have a small downtown.
Yeah.
You know, we took off all over the place and went and got dessert and just had a good time exploring. Go have fun. Do it. Jump on those scooters and have fun. And really, most people that go see the parade, isn't it typically turned to, you know, a friend's night out or a date night with a husband and a spouse to go out and see? Make it a day night. Do it.
Well, and I think that that's a great perspective because usually with the parade, I try to fit all of them into one night. And so we're like
your
scrambling.
Poor husband, man.
It's my sister, actually.
Your poor sister.
So she does it too. So we're like scrambling to get to everything. But I'm like, the parade is like spaced out with a couple weeks. So you can make several activities of it and go hit the downtown ones, go hit the Tooele ones, go hit the ones that are in the southern part of the valley.
I mean, that's why we put it on for, you know, what are we, 13, 15 days, something like that total. You know, the reason we put it on for so many days is to get out and hit a few. Because if you think about it on a typical afternoon, you know, you jump out at, let's say, even 4 o'clock as early as you can. You might get two houses in and then you get that afternoon rush of cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're hungry, you grab dinner.
Yeah.
And you might have time to go grab one or two houses after that. But man, the drive can take you from Salt Lake down to, you know, downtown Salt Lake out to Draper, 45 minutes to an hour.
That's a very good
point. Commute is not uncommon. So yeah, I would always encourage people, pick a few homes in certain areas, go see them, spread out to the other ones.
It's like planning your trip, you know, like how you have certain days that you're visiting these sites. Like I think that for the $20 ticket, when you look at it that you have, and maybe everyone's just thought this way. I don't know why it just like
just me, dawned on you.
It dawned on me today.
You think of a parade, you think it's got to all be at
the
same time.
Right. But this is great because it's like you can do 4 or 5 nights out of this. Yeah.
And the George likes visitors.
Exactly. Come see us. I've always encouraged people to, the parade typically opens, I think it opens at noon, the 4 days of, you know, standard weekdays that we're open. Go at your lunch hour and go see a house. It's always fun to go grab lunch and run out to a house real quick on your way back to the office.
Steph canceled his podcast.
There you go. Yeah, but being involved in the parade and helping, you know, put it on in the past, I've put on my own challenge of seeing all the parade homes the years that I go. And it's hard when we had a year where we had 30 plus, I want to say 35, 36 homes. It was a lot of work.
A lot of homes.
And I found myself going at unique hours because the crowds weren't there, the traffic wasn't there, but I could go to a lunch hour.
Yeah.
You know, and go hit two real fast. So it's made to space out a little bit more. You know, again, if somebody's looking specific to they're currently building a custom home, they may just go see the five or six custom homes.
Yeah.
Somebody's just looking to get into the market. They're looking for something less expensive. They might go see a townhome out in the Harriman area.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's looking for an urban product. They might go see my product downtown. We get those specifics. I believe statistics in the past show that the average parade ticket goer attends 6 to 7 homes. You know, so if you're doing more than that, you're doing good.
Well, because it's all those people trying to get in one date, right? And then they realize, oh, it's not possible.
Exactly. So, yeah,
well, what do you love about the George?
What do I love about the George?
What's your favorite thing about the George?
Man, that's a hard one to say. I will say I was very pleasantly surprised at how unique the product is in the environment that it sits. And I know I'm talking this downtown urbanization, mm-hmm. right? But to understand my background, where Breen Homes is what I like to call a boutique custom home builder. We're very used to the retirement client that comes in and they're building their forever home. They're going to live in it for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
They want to bring their grandkids back to it. So their idea is we want to live on one main level that's 3,000 square feet. But we want guest bedrooms downstairs. We want a pool in back. We want the tennis court or the pickleball court out on the side of the house. We need an 8-car garage to store our boat and our toy vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's my typical client. And so when this client, Manifest Development, came to me and said, do you want to partner in on us with a unique product downtown? It's not common for us to build townhomes. But the reason they came to me is said, you're so comfortable with this unique a custom world and we want it to feel more upper scale. We want to bring your mind into it. At first, I was challenged to say it's still a townhome. But then as we got into the design to see how uniquely cool they sit in the urban environment, it became very livable. And it truly challenged my thought of saying, I could live in an environment like this. And I'm not used to seeing that. So what do I really like? The fact that it challenges me as a suburbanite that lives in Cottonwood Heights, Utah, and likes having my own private road and private property. It challenged me to say, I could live in this area. And if I could do it, a lot of other people are feeling the same way.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I may test that out, Steph. I may go over and squat at the George there for about 30 days and see whether I like it or not.
There
then I can convince my wife.
Because
I could get rid of my yard.
It's amazing how many clients I've had where the husband or wife is like, put me in a downtown penthouse.
Yeah.
And I am totally happy. But my wife or my husband needs the open space and the pool. You know, but it is. It's just, I keep hammering it on the head. But we go back to this, like, is it really worth taking care of your own pool, your own 10-car garage, your huge property, watering all of it, like pumping the utilities into it? Or is it nice to be able to go live in an area where you use your livable space and you have a community pool?
Yeah.
You know, a large parking garage that can fit your vehicles in it. Like
pickleball courts.
Yeah. Why not have all this?
You've convinced me I need to get rid of that 10-car garage.
Well, a park that has some shade, you know, instead of walking out in your backyard.
Yeah.
If you live, you know, where I live, you know, it's the same thing. I don't have any old trees there. And I just, no pun intended, I pine for a big tree.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I turn into a tree hugger. I see one on the east side over there, and I go up and I just put my arms around it, and I go, I love you.
Totally.
I just absolutely love you.
Yeah. But, so that's what I love about it. It's just the challenge to see that you walk into it and go, wow, it's a unique space for where it is, you know? And being a new home builder, I've walked in plenty of old homes that I go, I can appreciate what they've done here, but it's just it's still an old home. It's not me. I want new. New and nice. And this gives the best of both worlds, you know? So that's what I like about it.
I like that opinion. You're like making me sort of miss my downtown commute, because that's where I learned podcasting. Yeah. I would edit on my way to work on tracks and just observe all the interesting ducks, you know. And
I've never even ridden a road. I should cut that out.
I've never ridden a road before. We're losing him over here, Steph.
No, I've never, you know, I'm so used to being raised driving the car everywhere, you know, that I don't, and being from the East Coast, we don't quite have the same kind of openness. So my wife says, you know, can you go down to the mailbox a block and a half away and get the mail?
Get in the car.
And I jump in the car and say, where are the keys?
It's so true. I kind of made this like mental challenge, you know, years ago when I was on conferences by myself, you know, or vacations by myself, to not get in a car if I didn't have to. You know, so yeah, you still get an Uber from the airport or whatnot. But I've gotten away from, I mean, the last time I rented a car was who knows how long ago, right? I completely get away from that. It's all Uber. But once I get there, why not jump on the little spin cycles or the e-bikes or whatever it is? It's amazing how easily you can get around town, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I've kind of started to do the same thing here at home. I've got an e-bike at home that I tout all the time to people. I'm like, it's a big beach cruiser, man. I sit on it and cruise down the street. But it's now become like my way of driving when I go to the grocery store, down to the mailbox. And it is. It's that challenge of being like, it's just a different way of life that maybe I'm not so used to.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I got into running. And what I used to say, I still hate running. So don't get me wrong. I'm going to say I hate running. But what I enjoyed about it is going to neighborhoods that I would drive through and how much of a different view it was going slower. You know, and enjoying what was around me. Yeah, we're in such this hustle bustle life all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like I got to hurry.
Don't you find that a lot of times when you're in traffic, you know, you're wanting to get to your destination, but it's not like you really have a time commitment. It's just in your mind.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to get to the grocery store. Get out of my way.
Everyone's in my way. Right? Move.
Yeah. And there's no real reason to be in a hurry, but somehow, you know, life has made us that way. And I would think that would just kind of relax you. Maybe I could live longer.
Yeah. Right. All of our stress would come down.
Yeah.
I had a friend recently tell me that they've started to practice kinetic meditation, which was actively moving. It wasn't good for them to just sit. They couldn't get their mind to just sit, but being able to just walk without a device being attached to them. You know, and we talk about our phones. They're such a positive but negative pro in our life right now, to be able to detach from that. But when you get in your car, you're still attached to your phone, your radio, whatever it is, to be able to detach from that and put, you know, your hands on handlebars, whether you're on a scooter or a bike, to be able to be walking and paying attention to what's around you and not looking down at your phone. There's something to that that I think our younger generations have caught on to that will help them live through a stressful life.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say, you know, my generation, Generation X, you know, whatever you want to call us, we're the gap generation. You're probably close to that same generation, you know, versus the...
He was pointing to Scott.
Yeah. But for those boomers in the room, you know, or the millennials, there's always the other generation. Yeah. We've just fallen attached to stuff, and we're constantly looking for ways to unplug, you know? So yeah, urbanization is cool. Again, it's not the way I currently live my life, and it's not the majority of my clients, but I appreciate it. And I'm starting to learn more and more about it. And if you pay attention to cities' larger master plans, right now they're being forced to pay attention to city centers, civic centers, where they allow density, they grow height, and they grow tight into those areas that allow walkability, whether it's transit centers, grocery stores, exercise facilities, coffee shops, daycares. They want to create walkability because that's the only way we can really cut back on traffic in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
It's not like we have room for more roads.
No. I love the whole concept there. I'm pining away for my days, you know, because really back in the 60s, you know, it was all outdoors. You know, as a kid, you know,
right,
you were walking around, playing in the canals, you know, riding your bicycles. And now all of a sudden I look outside, I don't see kids doing anything.
Yeah.
They're all behind the screens, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. Games. I'm going to put in a plug. We recently released our first episode about 6 weeks ago called Build with Breen Holmes. And episode one was just kind of a get to know who is Adam Breen, who am I? Mm-hmm. And I found myself describing me in multiple times where I just say I'm from the streets and I've bootstrapped my career. But to your point, I go back saying it. When I say I'm from the streets, the pun intended is the mean streets of Salt Lake City. Like, man, it was bad. I grew up in a tough environment, you know. My parents could barely buy me whatever I wanted growing up, you know. But that being said, there was something to be said for having to figure it out yourself. And your friends were where your bikes were parked.
Yeah.
And your curfew was when the lights turned on at night or the sun went down, right? This is the environment we grew up on. And it's not that kids nowadays don't figure out how to be kids and grow up to be great people. It's just a different environment, you know? But the nostalgia of coming back to what we were as kids growing up on our bikes is amazing when suddenly you do walk and pay attention to the canopy trees. You know, you see a large mature tree that you can hug. You get on a bike, and honestly, an e-bike, and you can pedal nowadays. I would encourage you, Scott, go jump on an e-bike and cruise around the neighborhood, and you'll be like, I'm a kid again. This is the coolest thing I've ever done. You know, so for me, I keep going back to these nostalgic moments where, you know, even laughing, I was on rollerblades a few weeks ago, and I was like, I love this, man. Rollerblades are so cool. You know, but just coming back to my grassroots. And so, you know, building this product downtown has brought back some maybe nostalgia to grassroots of saying, you know, you can walk places. You don't always have to be in a hurry, in a vehicle, going as fast as you can.
Yep.
Well, going along with that, that first episode of Who is Adam Breen, tell us a little bit about how, like, did you grow up being like, I want to create homes? Or
no, not at all.
What were your childhood dreams? How did you get here?
Okay, let's see. As a young child, I'm probably pretty sure I wanted to be an astronaut or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. Going into college, I actually went to school and received an undergrad degree in exercise and sports science. The goal and direction was physical therapy or athletic training, mm-hmm. something down the world of active athletes. While I was going to school, I was working in construction to put myself through college, to be able to pay for what my college career was at the time. And I found as I went down this physical therapy, athletic training world, in positions that I had to get experience where I was volunteering, I was stuck inside in an office all the time. And the dream of working with athletes to rehab them to get back into mm-hmm. their sport was the top 0.0001% that got to do that. Most people were working with older individuals that were recovering from a fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved working with them. The insight that they brought was amazing, but it was so hard to find motivation for them. You know, I found positions where they just were waiting to die. And as sad as that is to say, and no matter what I did, it was hard to get them motivated to get back to mobility, strength to stand up. And I just thought, man, I'm taking this personal, and it's not a good career path for me.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, I was working in construction and able to go outside and work my days not in an office environment, not dealing with the 9-to-5 office mm-hmm. environment. And I just went, man, I'm making money at this. Why not continue down the career path? You know, so at the time I was working, doing hands-on work in construction for a general contractor, took a job at a pretty young age. I think it was about 23 for a larger home builder up north to learn the business, to kind of get out of the day-to-day laborer. Started my own company in 2011, building custom homes as, you know, we know it today mm-hmm. as Breen Homes. And I've been there since. And it's been a blessing in disguise. I've absolutely loved being in the industry where I work with blue-collared individuals. There's a lot of business, a lot of different directions you can go in construction and real estate development. And I've loved how many people's lives I've been able to touch in here in Salt Lake City, Utah. You know, growing up in the area, we always call it Small Lake City, Utah. Mm-hmm. You kind of tend to get to know everybody. It's just been amazing that, you know, I grew up, went to high school here, went to college here. Those relationships have continued to grow because everyone needs help with construction or real mm-hmm. estate. So I've festered a lot of those relationships or brought them back up, just being somebody that somebody knows in the industry. And I love it. I mean, I've set roots here and I'll never leave here. You know, not to mention Salt Lake City is about the best place ever to live.
You're saying this to the guy that wishes he was back east, well, but I agree with you.
East Coast guy,
so I'm a part of a professional builder group that there's 16, I think we have 17 members right now in our group. The majority of them are back east. And I'm like kind of the sole West Coast guy. And every time we get together, we meet in different cities across the nation. And every time we get together, we go to dinner and they're all in like sports coats and loafers. And I'm always the guy in like the flip flops and the shorts, you know, or the Lululemon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always just like, Breen, how do you get away with that? Like that look. And I'm like, man, bro, it's West Coast. We're laid back here. And every time we're in California, they're like, oh, Utah, you're not West Coast. And I'm like, hey, we're more West Coast than you think. I couldn't do East Coast. So good for you. It's a beautiful area, but I'm West Coast blood, man.
Scott, you've retired those loafers since you moved to Utah.
I have retired those loafers. I do have a pair, though. They're in my closet. Every time I look at them, I go, and then no.
Yeah.
And then
they're dressed down as like shorts and boat shoes. And I'm like, you guys, let go of the tied crew neck sweater over your shoulders, you know?
Well, interestingly, I have a son who's a physical therapist, and I know exactly what you're saying mm-hmm. because what happens is that when you're working, in fact, I have a wife is a home healthcare nurse, and I will say it's interesting because you come across a lot of people that have a lot of experience in life, but they're a lot of people on the down, you know, on the downhill side of life and are struggling. It can be kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's such a cool give back industry. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to shed any like negative light on that. You know, but it's just, it's, it, you have to have the right heart for it,
yeah,
you know, do. Because you do become so close to people that you lose.
Yeah. And you lose a those lot of people. The time, well, you were, you know, in the industry.
Yeah. I did activities at assisted mm-hmm. living. It was like my dream job for years until my friends all started dying.
And yeah.
It's like, so it hard. Just, it, cause then I felt like I wasn't connecting anymore. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, this is, it's time for me to move on. But
yeah. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, life is delicate. The older yeah. you get, the more you see that. Uh-huh. And so again, I still align that. My hobbies are all, you know, in the athletic world. You know, I work out every day because I just enjoy that group of people mm. that I'm around. You know, so my love and interest still falls within a lot of that athletic training, physical therapy world, you know, but I think I would have taken it too hard on myself being yeah. in that industry. And this industry has just allowed me to nurture and grow friendships, you know, build a business the way I want to build a business. Be inside the office, be outside the office, meet with clients on job sites, be inside the office working on plans. It's just such a yeah. fun world. And then not to add in the artistic side to it. It is fun. I mean, this is what everyone sees. And I think that you see it in home builder guides when they talk about it. But to be able to put a product on a piece of land that stands there for 100-200 years yeah. is so cool.
Yeah.
It really is to be able to put that all together. There's, I will say, every single product I've ever built, the coolest part to me is you're about 95 to 98% complete. It always turns into a late night that you're getting something done. You know, lights are all turned on. All the hustle bustle of everything outside is turned off. And you go to lock up the building at night and it's quiet, you know, the building, the house, whatever it is. And you start turning off the lights and you're just like, man, this is just such a cool home, yeah. a cool house, a cool product, whatever it is. It just comes alive, you know, and that's something to be said of like, that's the moment where you pat yourself on the back and go, this is what I love about my industry. You know, I just created a structure that's going to stay here. And I always say you take a house and you allow somebody to turn it into a home, you know, and that's a cool handoff. Go back to your point of like, who yeah. am I? Where did this mm-hmm. all come from? You know, that's the very unique part of my job that I love, but is the hardest part. Truly. I now work with a client. Most of my clients I work with anywhere from a year and a half on the light end to 3, 4, 5 years on the long end. And they allow me into their home environment, their family structure, their finances. And now I'm suddenly building them a house that is going to be their home. And I'm one of very few people that they trust to walk in at any point in time. They don't expect me to ring the doorbell. I could walk right in and go straight back into their master bathroom and they wouldn't think it was weird.
Yeah.
And yet you tell me how many people you would allow to do that in your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always unique when I turn a house over to a homeowner and they're living there. And the first time I go up and ring the doorbell, they answer the door and they're like, Adam, what are you doing? Just walk in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, I just wanted to check on, you know, the warranty request or whatever it is real quick. Yeah. Let yourself in. Go for it. Let yourself out when you're done. That's very unique. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. so I end up with a very unique relationship with my clients. But again, that is the pro and the con of home building. I spent a lot of time being, you know, the third partner in a marriage relationship, whether it's a psychologist, a financial advisor, a marriage counselor, yeah. a home builder. We get stuck doing all that.
When we talk about custom, it's still not as clear for me.
Most of our clients come to us somewhere in the world of, we love your product. We want you to build us a house. We don't have a location in mind. We don't own land. We just need you to help us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find them the piece of land. We'll link them up with an architect that helps them truly design their home like you did mm-hmm. your home back
That's
east
exactly what
to
did.
Fit on the piece of land. And then we build those plans to fit on there. That's where I'd fall back to is true custom. Some of my clients do come with land and say, we bought this lot. We need help trying to figure out a house that we want on it. We have ideas, but we need help putting it together. Still would fall line custom. Semi-custom typically, and it's the lines are a little gray, but semi-custom typically falls to a larger builder or a development that has a set of plans for, you know, to select from. You go through and mm-hmm. select A, B, C, D, yeah. whatever yeah. plan it might be called, and then say, yeah, but we need a bigger primary bedroom, you know, or they want a bigger kitchen, they want to add on square footage, they want a fourth bay in their garage, and they just start to bump out walls and kind of change that floor plan a little bit, but it still bases from a stock mm-hmm. plan, you know. So that's where I'd kind of draw the line between like a semi-custom and a full-blown custom. Does okay. that answer your question?
Yeah, that makes a little more sense because mm-hmm. people throw out that word, but I'm like, I just nod my head like I know.
Custom, that's cool house, right?
And I guess I have a follow-up question with that. Do you ever have people that they're like, okay, I want you to find me this property and I want it to be in this neighborhood for this amount?
And you say,
all the time.
No way.
Yeah, it's like channel down into this. Well, I grew up here and I've got to be within a 3-mile radius, but not west of here and not north of here. And yeah, and most of our clients, you know, that do come in there, we try to guide them the right direction of saying, what is the budget and does it fit the area? And if not, where can you expand and get a similar feel to and not still very too far outside of your world? It's not always possible, you know, but we try. The building world is an interesting world. You know, you always say custom right now. If I were to quote like a cost per square foot, I might say you're $300-$325 bucks a square foot up to $1,000 bucks a square foot to build custom. I would be adventurous enough to say that there's no way you're building a single family house for under 170 bucks a square foot right now, you know, but those are always like these placate numbers we place to just say, well, what does the average home for sale East Bench of Salt Lake?
Yeah.
It doesn't account for all the anomalies going in there.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking averages, you know, at that point. So, you know, again, trying to point the client the right direction. Sometimes you say, okay, we know that in your mind, you've got it built down to this geographical area, this size of home at this cost. But now that I at least know that's what you want to get to, how can I guide you the right way? You know, or are you just up in the middle of the night? I believe that our industry is changing faster and faster as we go. You've probably seen that in the real estate world, right? It used to be about once every 10 years, we'd see styles change. But now with our access to social media and pictures and whatever else you call it, we're now seeing those styles really change about every 2.5 to 5 years. New colors, new designs, new concepts. Just it changes so fast because we can get that information quicker. That being said, I believe, you know, in the next, let's call it 30 years of career I have in the industry, I'm going to go through 6 to 10 major changes. So I believe that affects our economy greatly. So the big picture to me that I really have liked getting involvement, part of why I started my podcast, was just seeing how our economy changes and what I can do to support where my kids grow up. And that started to involve me in a lot more of tiny homes, affordability, attainability. I've got a project I'm working on up in Park City right now that we're trying to get some affordable workforce product put in it. So I'm very familiar with that as well. And it's very fun to dabble in the custom home for a client that's retiring that kind of doesn't affect. But then also be dealing with the server at the restaurant that can't afford to live in the environment they work. And they're going, man, I truly don't know what to do. I'm going to end up on the streets if inflation keeps happening.
Yeah.
And I really get to see both ends of that spectrum. And it's a lot of fun to, when I say fun, it's very unique to try to figure out how to work through both those completely polar opposite individuals, but understand that all stays and still fits right here in Salt Lake City. And we have that issue everywhere. And whatever I can do over the next 30 years to help resolve that or be a part of the positive impact there, I want to do, you know. So I do have a lot of knowledge in that area too. It's fun.
Well, and weren't you 2020's president of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association?
I was. Yep. So my involvement in the Salt Lake Home Builders Association has been 2013, I joined, put my first parade in. 2014 and 15, I sat on the Parade of Homes Committee. 2016, I sat as our, what would you call it, our vice president to the committee or maybe vice chair to the committee. I think it was 2017 and 18, I was the chair president for the Parade of Homes. And then I kind of got involved in our executive committee level with board of directors and whatnot in the Salt Lake Home Builders Association, where I went through our, you know, second vice chair, first vice chair, president, past president. You know, so I've been involved there for many years.
I think that's so great to see, because we've interviewed a few people that have been past presidents, and I love seeing that everyone's still involved.
Well, so is there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to on this particular project?
Yeah, I'll list a few by name. Obviously, my business partner, Manifest Development, in it. Tyler and Alec have been wonderful business partners to help get this project done. Walker Home Design, the architect on the project that helped design a nice home that we could put there, or homes that we could put there. Outside of that, all the subcontractors and trade partners that worked on it, we could go through and list, you know, a plethora of names there. But the unique environment of what they're dealing with today, supply shortages, labor issues, you know, to be able to get a parade home done is a feat within itself. on top of that, it used to be really cool for them to say, we've got a parade homes. When I say them, subcontractors and trade mm-hmm. partners. It's turned into all that means to them is a required timeline, asking for a discount and getting it done fast. Mm. So they feel the pressure when it's put on. And the trade partners that we've used and suppliers we've used on this product have been nothing but positive behind it. You know, so we appreciate the support they've given us to help put a product out there and advertise for that. You know, in hopes that it gives us and them more work. So those relationships are key to us. And I think a shout out to every one of them that have put in effort. And then last, I would be beholden if I didn't mention my team and my staff. You know, I'm the face and the name behind the business anymore. You know, I'm not on the site running the job site every day. And my team that is, you know, puts in a lot of effort, a lot of countless hours, and probably a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get it done. And they truly hold me up as a leader for them. So I appreciate their help.
So make sure to check out The George by Breen Homes and Manifest Development. Wear your walking shoes. Make a date night out of it.
I'm putting on my Nikes right now.
Right? There you go. And if you use the code Utah Real Estate Podcast, you get how much off, Scott?
$3.
$3.
Or is it $3?
$3.
That's a half a gallon of gas right now.
Right?
It's worth it. That'll get you there.
It's worth it. Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember that you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.